Okay, today we're going to do Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph in Masechus Kiddushin. We left off four lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we were discussing Shlichus. So we had mentioned that there seems to be three places in the Torah where the Torah has an extra word to teach me the concept of Shlichus. We have it by divorce, we have it by Truma, and we have it by Karbanos. So the Gemara said the truth is, by Truma, it's not really teaching us Shlichus. We don't need to know Shlichus by Truma. It's obvious once we have it by Karbanos and by divorce. By Truma, it's teaching me something else. The Pasuk Gamatem is teaching me something else. But now we're going to focus on the Pasuk that we used by Karbanos. We thought we can learn the din of Shlichus of Karbanos from the Pasuk Vishachatu Oso, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, that the entire Jewish people shechts the Karban Pesach, which obviously can only be done if there's a shliach on behalf of everybody else. Says Gemara, Hani Chol Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, that only makes sense according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, El Rabbi Yonason, Demapik Leila Haikra L'Drosh Archina, but according to Rabbi Yonason, who already uses that pasuk to teach us something else, Min Allah, and how's he going to know that there's a concept of shlichos by Kodshim, Titanya Rabbi Yonason, Amar Minayin Shekol Yisrael Kulin Yotzim, B'Pesach Echad. How do I know that the entire Jewish people could be Yotzei the Karban Pesach with one single Karban Pesach? Shenemar Meshachto So Kol Kal Adas Yisrael Ben Arba'im. So it says that the entire nation shechts Karban Pesach Ben Arba'im. What v'chi Kol Hakal Kulam Shochtim? Do you think the whole entire Jewish people shechts at one time the Karban? V'lo Sheino Shochet Ela Echad. Obviously, only one person is doing the Shechita. So you see that even though not everyone's going to be able to get a kazayis of meat if the entire Jewish people share one animal as a karban, but still they could be yotzei the mitzvah of Karban Pesach together. So if that's what we learn from the pasuk shliach b'kodesh minalei, where are we going to know the concept of shlichus from? If all we're going to learn from that pasuk is that the entire Jewish people can participate in the same Karban Pesach even though they're not getting a kazayis of meat, how do I know the concept of shlichus? Says Gemara, what do you mean, how do I know it? Minei, I know it from that same pasuk. Meaning, what are you saying? You're saying that everyone, the entire Jewish people, is being yotzei with one karban. That means that not only is everyone getting less than a kazayis of meat, but obviously one person's doing the shechita for everybody. Says Gemara, no, but that's not a good source to teach us shlichus. Maybe over there it's different because everyone's a partner in the karban. So maybe from there I would only know that you could make a shliach when you are already a partner and the shliach is also your partner in the item. How do I know that you can make a shliach who's even not even relevant to what you're sending him for? It's actually a different pasuk by Karban Pesach from which we derive shlichus. V'yichulem ish se lebeis avos. Pasuk says each family gets a sheep se labayis. Each household gets a sheep. If there are a lot of members of the family, they take a sheep for each house. From the fact that it says ish, b'lashon yachid, it sounds like one member of the family, one member of the household, can take the sheep on behalf of everybody else. So that's where we learn shlichus. V'dilma hasam nami yidis leishutvas begavayah. The Gemara says, yeah, but over there also, he's also a participant. So maybe, again, we only learn the concept of shlichus when he's also a participant. How do I know shlichus applies even when the shliach is not a participant, is not a partner in it? It says, Gemara, imkein treikrai lamali. Well, why do I need two different psukim to tell me that one guy can do it on behalf of the whole group when he's a participant? Obviously, if you have it by the shechita, why do I need another pasuk to tell me that you should have it, that should hold true when you're designating the karban? So, the fact that there are two psukim teaching it to me must be that it's even true when he's not shaykh in the karban, that shlichus works even when the shliach has no relevance to the karban. Mar says, wait, haimi bayli l'chad Rabbi Yitzchak. This pasuk of Yichulam Ish we already need for a different Rasha, for Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak Ish Zoche v'lo Katan Zoche. Rabbi Yitzchak learns from the word Ish that only an adult male can take Karban Pesach on behalf of the whole family, but not a child. So answer Gemara, Hu me Ish l'fi achlo nafka. Now the fact that a Katan can't do it, we learn from the words Ish l'fi achlo. But the pasuk Yichulam Ish is therefore still extra to teach me the notion of shlichus. Says the Gemara, but still vakati mi bayilei d'shochnas pasach al yachid. But how can you say the din of a katan not being a shliach to designate the karban is from Ish Lufi Achlo, we already need that pasuk to teach me that you could shecht the karban Pesach even for a single individual who's not part of a larger group. That's what we learn from Ish Lufi Achlo, from the singular of the word Ish. And so the Gemara, Savar Lo Kaman D'Amar, Ein Shechtin Asa Pesach Al Yachid. We must be assuming, like the Rabbi Yonasan must be assuming, like the opinion, that you cannot shecht the karban Pesach for an individual, that only a group can shecht a carbon Pesach. And therefore, he can learn from the pasuk Yish Lufi Achlo that a katan cannot do a shlichus, and therefore he can learn from the pasuk V'yikhulahem Ish to teach us that you can make a shliach to take your carbon for you even if he's not an actual participant. So main point number one, we derive that someone can be a shliach even if he's not a participant in the karban, from the pasuk v'yikhu lahem ish. From the pasuk v'yikhu lahem ish. And once the Gemara brings a makar from where we learn shlichus, the Gemara asks on Rav, who learns it from a different makar. Meaning, we've now settled it. How do I know shlichus? Well, I know shlichus by gerushin from v'shilcha. I know shlichus by karbanos from v'yikhu lahem ish. That the ish selaves avos. I know shlichus by truma from the combination of gerushin and kachin. Great. So how come Rav has an entirely different source? Ve'alahadam Rav Gidel Amrav minayin sheshluchus shom kamoso. That which Rav Gidel Amrav says, that how do I know shluchus shom kamoso? Shneimar, because the pasuk says v'nasi echad, nasi echad mimata. That it says that in each shevet appoints a nasi to be in charge of dividing up the estate and being zocha in different parts of Eretz Yisrael for each family. So typically shlichus mehacha. Why don't we learn shlichus from there, from kachim, from gerushin? Why does Rav have to learn it from the nasiim dividing up the land of Israel? So says Gemara, v'tizra dehashlichusu. Do you think that dividing up the land of Israel through a nasi to the whole shevet is really a din of shlichus? But Ketanim also get their portion of Israel, and they cannot make a shliach, so obviously it's not a din in shlichus. Ela ki ha-derava barav huna. No, you know, that's working. The dividing up the land of Israel is working with a different mechanism. It's the mechanism that Rava Barav Huna taught us. Dama Rava Barav Huna, Marav Gidol, Amrav, Minayish Zachon Adam Shlo Befanav. How do I know that I can make a kinyan on behalf of somebody, even though he never asked me to do it for him? Shenemar v'nasiach v'nasiachad. So that's like an offshoot of shlichus. It's telling me that I can be someone's shliach, even if they never asked me to be their shliach, as long as it's good for them. That's what I'm learning from the dividing up of the land of Israel. Says Gemara, v'tizbara, and by the way, that's a very important concept, of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, that you could do something beneficial for a person and serve as their shliach to do it, even though they never asked you to do it. Says Gemara, v'tizbara z'chosi, do you think that that's beneficial to a person? It's pure benefit to a person to give him his chelek in Eretz Yisrael and decide what that chelek should be? It could also work against the person. Because there are some people that are very happy to have a mountainous region as their portion and don't want a flat plain. And other people prefer flatlands and prefer not to have a mountainous region. So how can you say that this is a zuchus and that it's zachon ladam shlo b'fanav? So the Gemara explains the drasha of Rav from the pasuk about dividing Eretz Yisrael slightly differently. How do I know that if Yisomim are dividing up their father's estate, that Bezim can appoint a caretaker who's in charge of dividing up their estate to make decisions that may be again, you know, may not be in their best interest, or may yes be in their best interest? Says Mar Lachova Mai. If Basin knows that it's a chova for the Yisomim, that it's bad for the Yisomim, why would the apotropos be authorized to make a decision like that? So the Gemara says, no. El Lachova al Menas Lazakos. But the apotropos is allowed to decide to do things that ultimately will be good for the Ketanim, even though right now it may seem like a chov, it may seem like something that's not good, or something that ultimately may not work out, and the Ketana may not be happy with, but as long as in good faith he's trying to do something lizuchus for them, it's going to work. How do I know that the apotropos is authorized to make these kinds of decisions? Tamalomer, the pasuk says, v'nasi echa nasi echa mimata tichu. We learn that from the nasi dividing up Eretz Yisrael for all of the shevet, including for the ketanim, and he gets to make the decisions, even if ultimately it turns out that some of the people are unsatisfied with the decision. So the main point is, we derive from the nasi's authorization to divide up Eretz Yisrael that Beis Din can make an apotropos to divide a man's estate for his yisomim. We derive from the nasi's authority to divide up Eretz Yisrael that Beis Din can make an apotropos to divide a man's estate to his yisomim. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, yisomim shabau. If yisomim come to Beis Din, lachlok b'nechse aviyam, to divide up their father's estate. Beis Din ma'amidin them apotropos. Beis Din appoints for them an apotropos, someone who's going to be in charge of taking care of their needs. Uborim lehem chelik yafa, and the apotropos should pick for each child a portion that is good for him and that he's going to like. V'im higdilu, and if the children grow up and they're not happy with how they were represented and what they got, yichalim limchos, they can object to it and undo the entire chalukah, the entire division of the estate. Rav Nachman Diteyam, Rav Nachman himself said, "Imigdilu heinim yichalim limchos." Din kein makoch bezim yafa. That if they grow up, they cannot undo the entire deal, because if they were able to just simply undo the entire deal, well, then what's the authority of the apotropos? What's the point of Beis Din making an apotropos if there's no teeth to anything the apotropos does? So Gemara says, Rav Nachman came makoch Beis Din yafa. Is Rav Nachman generally sensitive to that argument that imkein makoch Beis Din yafa, that it's going to be like embarrassing for the Beis Din if their decisions don't carry any sway and any authority? Vatnan, but didn't we learn in a Mishnah Maseches Ksuvos, Shum HaDayanin, when Beis Din assesses the value of property in order to sell it so that someone could pay back money that he owes, Shepich Sush Sus, and they're off in their valuation by 1/6. Oh, Hosirush Sus, so they're off in the other direction, they overvalue it by 1/6. Michron batal, the whole sale is not binding. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, Michron kayim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the sale is binding, because imkein makoch Beis Din yafa. Because if the sale were not binding, then the ability of Beis Din to assess land is really worthless, because it's not going to have any teeth to it. No one's going to listen to their assessment anyway. And over there, Vamrav Huna Barchinna Amar Rav Nachman, and over there Rav Nachman said, Halacha kedivrei chachamim, that we pass on like Lacham, we don't care about Makoch Beis Din Yafa. We're not interested in how embarrassing it is for Beis Din. If they mess up, they mess up. So why over here does Rav Nachman say that if an apotropos divides the estate of Yisomim, that the Yisomim do not have the right to object, because we're afraid that it's going to take away all the power of the Beis Din? Yet when it comes to assessing land to pay back money, Rav Nachman is concerned of the Rav Nachman is not concerned of the authority of the Beis Din, and says you're allowed to undo whatever was done on your behalf. Says Umar lo kasha, it's not a steer at all. Hadita'u, hadilota'u. The case in Maseches Ksuvos is talking where Beis Din made a mistake. So where Beis Din made a mistake, Rav Nachman says, we're not worried about the covet of the Beis Din, and we can nullify their assessment. But over here by the apotropos, it's not that the apotropos made a mistake. It's just that the child decided later on that he's not happy with this division. Well, if the apotropos didn't make a mistake, what's the child objecting to? He's objecting to, you know, the exact location. I would have preferred the south side of my father's field, not the west side of my father's field. Something like that. So that's all he's objecting to, but it's not where he actually made a mistake. So last main point over here, Rav Nachman holds that when an apotropos makes a decision, it's binding so long as he didn't make a mistake. When an apotropos of Beis Din or a shliach of Beis Din makes a decision, when a court-appointed person makes a decision, it's binding unless he made an error, unless he made a mistake. We'll stop there.